And our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 47-48. If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Have you ever walked into somebody's home and enjoyed the greeting and the welcome? Have a think about that. And what was it about that greeting and welcome that worked for you? When Emily and I first started going out, she would invite me to stay at her parents' house in Worcester, where she lived at the time. Her parents were so hospitable. I would get the train down from London on a Friday, and there'd be a home-cooked meal and a bottle of wine open, and we'd have a nice chat over this meal. And then Saturday, Em and I might go off for the day, but then in the evening, the fire would be lit again. There'd be a takeaway. We'd take time over this meal, play board games. And then Sunday, there was a Sunday roast, and then I'd go back to London. It was so welcoming that I thought, I really should marry this girl. She's a great family. You know, sometimes we can picture Jesus as quite serious. He's on his mission. But have you noticed how often Jesus was around a table? He wasn't just teaching in temples. He was meeting and greeting strangers, sitting in people's homes, eating bread, laughing, sharing stories. His first miracle wasn't in a church service. It was in the informal setting of a wedding reception, a place of community, of life shared together. To the tax collector, Zacchaeus, he said, I'm coming to your house today. And he goes around for supper. And then the story continues. With Mary and Martha in their house, Martha's very busy. Mary takes time for Jesus. But Jesus didn't scold Martha for serving. He just reminded her that the heart of hospitality is presence. Sometimes the best way to show hospitality is to pause and just be with people. Hospitality, welcoming people, is about creating space for someone to feel seen and valued. And Jesus finishes this whole section in Matthew that you've been looking at over the last few weeks, sums it up, really, with this phrase. I don't really like the one in the NIV of be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's like, how are we going to be perfect like God is perfect? The word there is teleos, which is translated perfect. Teleos is about being complete and mature. So here's a couple of different translations. You must always act like your Father in heaven. Or you, however, are to be complete in goodness as your heavenly Father is complete. I think that one really captures what Jesus was saying here, that, hey, your heavenly Father's complete in goodness, you imitate him. I drove down to Sherborne yesterday, was just stunned by the colours on the journey. The sun was shining, and the ivy was out, and all of the autumnal colours, really breathtaking. And God's sun shines on everyone, doesn't it? However we're doing, whoever we are, and his creation reflects his glory. A couple of weeks into the placement up in the Avon River team, I attended a harvest service in Netheravon. Sorry, this map probably isn't very easy to read, but if you go to Durrington, you've got Durrington and Larkhill, and you keep on going north, you get to a village called Fildean, and then a mile and a half north of that is Netheravon. And I walked into Netheravon Church. It was full, standing room only, for the school harvest service. And I looked on the wall and I saw a list of prebendaries. And prebendaries were people who were charged with managing the resources of the church. And I saw in the early 1600s, one of the prebendaries at Netheravon was a chap called Richard Hooker. And Richard Hooker was a theologian, a writer, who spent much time in Salisbury, And he is credited, you may have heard this thing in Anglican theology about there's scripture, which is the thing that we really rely on, we know how we're saved through scripture. There's also tradition. Some traditions are just really helpful, so we hang on to them. And then there's common sense. And sometimes there's common sense that God's given us that we use for working things out. And these three sort of legs of a stool, as they're sometimes seen, are really seen as a kind of foundational way of doing Anglican theology. Well, it's Richard Hooker who wrote about this and came up with this. And in Hooker's book, he's got this piece about the glories of God in creation. And Hooker writes, "Nature is so dexterous and skillful that no rational being can, with all their intelligence, do what she does without understanding or knowledge. Nature must always have some director of infinite knowledge who guides her in all her ways. And who is the guide of nature but the God of nature, in whom we live, move, and have our being?" And he says that many of the pagans saw different gods as having agency in creation, but he says they honored those things as if they had power to act or refrain according to what each man deserved. But to us, there is only one guide of all natural agents, both the creator and worker of all, in all, alone blessed, adored, and honored by all forever and ever. And so God is a God of incredible creative powers and generosity. And Tim Mackey of the Bible Project writes, "Creation expresses God's generous love. He's the host, and humans are his guests in a world of opportunity and abundance. And we are called to continue the party." And Jesus wrote, "If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Aren't even the pagans doing that?" And the word pagan there means people who are outside of the covenant. And at the time of Jesus, the Romans, in a way, they had quite a strong theological basis for their whole culture. They thought that Caesar was an incarnation of God. The Greeks before them, one of the writers wrote about a first mover who kind of had some agency in getting creation going. But there was no idea for the Greeks and Romans about being good and charitable to people outside of your particular club. None at all. Your slaves, once they died, you forgot all about them. But it's Christian theology with this idea, or this fact of Jesus coming into the world to meet the least and the last, welcoming people, going out on a limb, as it were, for people like us, that is a provocation to us to extend welcome to those who we may not even know. And he writes, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get?" And this reminds me of what Paul wrote in Romans, "Outdo one another in showing honour." What's honour? Well, if King Charles walked through this door now, what might we all do? Stand up. We probably wouldn't be having our own conversations. We'd pay attention, wouldn't we? That's honour, when you ascribe weight and significance to somebody. And Jesus says, and Paul writes, be intentional about showing honour. Peter wrote, "Honour everyone." For me, I find if I make the effort, there's sometimes rewards that come. And if I don't, there's not. I was invited to a Thanksgiving supper up in Amesbury Baptist Church a while ago. And I saw a family there, sat with two boys. I thought they looked like they might be interesting, but I had to push past such a barrier of awkwardness to just go and sit down and say, "I'm Joe, I'm here because such and such invited me. What's your name?" I thought about it. I kind of struggled to do it, and then in the end did do it, and got chatting to this chap, and it turned out we actually had a mutual friend. He went to school with somebody in Nigeria who I also know, and so there's this lovely sort of link set up. And then he leads worship up there, and both interested in music. And so there was this developing friendship. But it took a bit of pushing past awkwardness to kind of make that first step. But that's part of showing honour sometimes, is pushing past an awkwardness. And so Paul here is saying, if there's something you really want to be ace at in life, if you certainly want to be an ace at showing honour to others. And I'd just like to finish with three ideas for acing, honouring. And it's going to spell ace. First one, A, affirm. I like funerals, believe it or not. I actually like finding out about the people, these interesting lives. It's like being an investigative reporter. You're sort of going here, going there, putting together this story. And then at the story, people are so nice about the people who've passed away, how they loved them so much. They were great. They did such and such. We liked this about them. We liked that about them. The problem is they're not there to hear it. And wouldn't it be good if we actually celebrated people before they pass on from this life? Let's pull our celebration into the present moment. Let them hear it. A few months ago in our life group, we just had this thing. I've heard it somewhere. It's called affirmations. So take one person and you go around the room and you just each say something that you appreciate about them. So there's five or six. And this person gets to hear all the things that people like about them. It's really encouraging. That's affirmation, affirm. Next one is commune. Going back to that first question I asked you, have you ever loved the welcome as you go into somebody's house? Well, could we think about how might we do that very same thing or something like it to welcome somebody else? On the placement, I went into a PCC meeting. It was in somebody's dining room. And the first thing they said, or close to the first thing, would you like a glass of wine? They popped open a glass of wine, some peanuts on the table. It's nice when you go into somebody's home, isn't it? And they're thinking about, how can we meet your needs? It took as much pain as can be taken out of a PCC meeting. It took that out of the PCC meeting. It was actually quite friendly and nice. So can I challenge you to consider how you might host somebody else well? Perhaps somebody who's a bit different to you, or new to the church. So that's affirm, commune, and finally, express. As Brits, we can be a bit serious and stuffy. And when people come here from sunny countries, they notice it. They say, goodness me, you're rigid. And people have said that to me when they've come here from different climes. And so it's good if we can be quite intentional in kind of being warm and friendly. Jesus once noted that a host hadn't greeted him with a kiss. He said, I came to your party, you didn't even greet me with a kiss. And a kiss was a way in that culture of expressing honour and greeting someone really well. Jesus said, actually, this is really important. There's a member of this congregation who sometimes when I'm shaking hands with people, he'll actually come in for a hug. Do you know, I really like it. Comes in for this hug. It expresses warmth. There was warmth between the disciple John and Jesus. They sat close together at the Last Supper, and that disciple called himself, I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. So expressing warmth is good. So let's just have a moment to reflect. How might I affirm someone next week? How might I commune and offer hospitality? How might I express honour and warmth? And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your wonderful gifts of creation that we, particularly at this time of year, are blessed by. And we thank you for Jesus, who came to meet us and to extend your warmth to us, to bring us into everlasting life. And he was so often at people's tables, doing life together. Would you help us to do warmth well, and to do hospitality well, and to meet and greet people who we might not readily meet and greet, Lord. Would you help us by your Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. And we stand, if we're able, to confirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now Bill will bring us our prayers of intercession.
Heavenly Father, we lift to you the people of this congregation and parish. We think of families as their children and young people return to school and college after half term. All those who face concerns at work, in their finances, or with their health. We pray for older people and those who work in the health service as flu begins to make an appearance. And we pray for all those who work or volunteer in any kind of pastoral capacity in this church. We pray that they might truly be inspired and strengthened to share the love that you showed in the life of your Son. God of love, hear our prayer. We pray for all those in this city and in this parish who welcome and look after people marginalized by society at large, and who welcome people whose lives have reached any kind of crisis. And we pray especially this morning for the work of Kerry and Mike at Morning Star, and for those whose lives have been impoverished by addiction. We pray that you would prosper the forthcoming life recovery course. Give those who attend the course the necessary strength and desire to change. Give Mike and Kerry true sensitivity to the needs and situations of those whom they'll be working with. God of love, hear our prayer. As we approach the season of remembrance, we pray for those areas of the world that are today convulsed in conflict. We pray especially for the people of the Ukraine and Russia, and for the people of the Sudan. Stay the hands of the men of violence, we pray, and give strength and courage to those who practice the arts of peace. Give comfort to those who have lost loved ones, and sustain those forced to flee their homes and those deprived of food, water, and safety. We pray too, Heavenly Father, for those living in neighbouring countries who have been adversely affected by the Sudan conflict. We pray for schools, hospitals, and businesses in South Sudan contending with food shortages and rapidly rising prices. God of love, hear our prayer. We pray for all in any kind of authority. We thank you for those who endure great personal risk and sacrifice to keep us safe, for those faced with difficult decisions regarding our economy and society, for those tempted to use their positions of power for their own ends. We pray that they would keep before them the example of integrity and service set by your Son, who was not ashamed to wash his disciples' feet. God of love, hear our prayer. We lift to you those who this week will meet at the COP30 conference in Brazil. We pray that in the wake of that conference, governments will take the actions required to ensure the well-being of your planet and all the living things that inhabit it. We lift to you especially all those affected by climate change and extreme weather events, and especially at this time, the people of Jamaica. God of love, hear our prayer. In this season of All Souls, we pray for those who will gather this week to remember Sylvia, your faithful servant. And we thank you for those who have helped us in our lives. And on this All Saints Day, for those whose lives have been examples of what it means to follow you. We pray that through your grace, our own lives would inspire those who will come after us to seek your kingdom. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.